This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More news today on the home front.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. New home construction is at an all-time low. That report out this morning provides a backdrop for President Obama's announcement in Phoenix today. The president will outline plans to reduce foreclosures by paying mortgage companies to give struggling homeowners a break on their interest rates. Treasury will also pump even more money into mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. GM and Chrysler want some more money, too. Yesterday, the carmakers outlined their plan to avert bankruptcy. The plan includes plant closures, layoffs, and more government loans. They've already gotten $17 billion, and they're asking for $21 billion more. From North Carolina Public Radio, Marketplace's Janet Babin reports that request will go to a new presidential task force.
President Obama's CAR task force includes Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner and Ron Blum, a former consultant to the United Steelworkers of America. They'll have to decide whether to honor GM and Chrysler's request for more government bailout money or to drive the companies into bankruptcy or liquidation. Professor Jack Donahue at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government says the team's first question should be,
what's the public benefit versus the public cost of trying to save these companies? The tough thing is that Americans are used to being sentimental about their cars and about their car companies. We can't imagine a future without Chevy, without Dodge.
But he says now is no time to get sentimental. The White House has said that more will be required of creditors, suppliers, labor, and auto executives. And GM and Chrysler have promised more pain, 50,000 more job cuts, more reductions in U.S. plants and car brands. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
That report that new home construction plunged to a record low in January, that doesn't help the mood on Wall Street. Add to that the government's report that industrial production also fell even more than expected last month, down 1.8%. After yesterday's 300-point dump, the Dow is now down 13 points. That's about 0.2%. The NASDAQ is essentially flat, off a half a point or so. And the S&P 500 is down almost 2 points. Stock markets in Europe are down 1% or so, and Asian markets were mixed today after days of selling. There's a new report out today from the nonprofit Project on Government Oversight. It finds that the FDA is not doing enough to guard patients' health when it comes to life-saving medical equipment. We get that story now from Washington and reporter Ronnie Radbill.
Saying the FDA is playing a high-stakes gamble with patients' lives, the Project on Government Oversight, or POGO, wants better regulation of some high-risk medical devices. They include pacemakers, replacement heart valves, and internal defibrillators. The FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health is charged with overseeing the equipment's safety before it's used, but POGO says that's not happening. Dr. Ned Fader authored POGO's report.
Top officials of this part of the FDA decided that the labs would monitor themselves for safety.
Peter Laurie with the nonprofit consumer advocacy group Public Citizen says the lack of oversight is an ongoing problem.
As much as we worry about the safety of drugs and the way inspections are done in the drug area, we have an even greater reason to be concerned about the way medical devices are inspected and the way they are approved in this country.
The FDA says it hasn't read the Project on Government Oversight report and isn't prepared to comment. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Greenwich Avenue in Greenwich, Connecticut, has been called Rodeo Drive East. It was home to mom-and-pop stores before Saks Fifth Avenue and Tiffany moved in. And why not? Until recently, Greenwich was swimming in hedge fund and Wall Street money. Well, some of that money has vanished, so Marketplace's Amy Scott took a walk down the avenue.
The first signs that all is not well on Greenwich Avenue are the space available and moving notices in store windows. Two doors down from one empty space, Marty Novell manages Little Eric. It's a high-end children's shoe store just off the avenue. He shows me a pair of knee-high black boots.
It's a fashion boot. It looks like mommy's boot or, you know...
So how much would something like that go for?
I think it's $169.
Only $85 on sale. Novell says this is the first time in his 6 years as manager that business hasn't grown.
Some of our crew's shoes and sandals aren't selling as well because a lot of people I hear are not taking as many vacations.
Up the street, David Goldsmith runs Manfredi Jewels. He says as many as half his customers are tied to the finance industry. They're not spending as much these days.
There are clients who last year, or 2007 for Christmas season, may have spent, let's say, $30,000 as a round number. And this year, maybe they spent $10,000 or $15,000. Still an extraordinarily generous gift, but not at the scale that it was last year.
Nearby, a new restaurant aims to attract a newly thrifty clientele. Townsend Wentz is Morello Bistro's executive chef.
Sort of the market that we're looking at is being able to provide great service and great food, but at a reasonable price. And it's never been more appropriate than right now in the economy.
So what exactly is reasonable in Greenwich? Well,
an entree for us is average about $25, $26.
It's all relative, I guess. It's easy to poke fun at Greenwich, which is pricey even when it's on sale. But the avenue is having real problems. High rents and the consumer slowdown have driven several national chains away. Lynn Lavery sits on the town board.
The major retailers that have left are The Gap. We've also just lost Ann Taylor. Borders. Banana Republic is gone. That's another one that just left in the past couple of months.
On the bright side, there is more parking, and Lavery hopes the vacancies will allow new locally owned stores to move in. In Greenwich, Connecticut, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, Amy's going to show us how the hedge fund meltdown is remaking real estate in Greenwich. The Dow is down 29 points at 7,523. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.